This is a presentation by pastor and author Greg Laurie, recorded at Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. As is the case with each of the audio messages from A New Beginning, this presentation is dedicated to bringing you into a deeper knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor Greg has titled this presentation, Loving as Christ Loves the Church.
You probably heard the story of a guy who's walking on a beach here in California, and he saw this bronze lamp laying in the sand and picked it up, began to dust it off, and of course, the genie appeared. And the genie said, "Oh, Master, I will grant to you one wish." The guy said, "One wish would happen to three wishes." "Well, we've had to cut back, you know, with the economy and everything. One wish." "One wish? Wow, only one? Oh, let's see. He says, "I'll tell you what, I love Hawaii, but I don't like to fly. Now, if you could build me a highway from California to Hawaii that I could drive my car over, that would be great. That's what I want. I want a highway from California to Hawaii." The genie said, "Give me a break. There's no way that we can do that. The logistics, the cement involved, it's absolutely impossible. Think of something else." So the guy, "Something else? Oh, okay." Thought about it for a while, and he says, "Okay, I think I have it now. I don't understand women at all. And I especially don't understand my wife. Genie, my wish is that I would be able to understand women from this point forward." The genie paused for a moment and said, "Did you want that highway two lanes or four lanes?" Well, I wish I could share with you a message on how you can understand women, but having been married 26 years, I have no idea at all. But I know that we're to love them, and they're so lovable. So we're going to see what the Scripture says specifically about husbands loving their wives in this message. And then in our next time together, we'll have our final message in this series within a series as we're focusing on the family in our Ephesians teachings. And we'll look at what the Scripture says specifically to parents. But I want to come once again to the role of the husband in marriage. In our last message, to men, we noted the words of Paul here in Ephesians 5 when he said, "Husbands, love your wives." We reminded you that that word that he used there for love is the Greek word agape, which is not this world's fickle kind of love that comes and goes depending on what kind of a mood you're in. It's not a mere fuzzy, warm feeling one gets inside, but it's a love that loves no matter what. It is a love that is shown by action. Agape love means action, not a benign attitude. Agape love means involvement, not a comfortable detachment from the needs of others. Agape love means unconditionally loving an unlovable person or an unresponsive person. Agape love means we love our mates even in the face of extremely unlovable behavior. Now you might say, "Well, I don't think I can do that. We've sort of lost the love in our marriage. We've fallen out of love," or, "I don't find her attractive anymore." But we must love our wives, regardless of if we feel they have done something to merit that love, regardless of if we even have that feeling. It's commanded to us in Scripture. But you might say, "But I don't feel it." Let me say this in the plainest terms, men. I believe the reason that so many marriages are falling apart today, even in the church, is because men are failing to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Now you guys might protest and say, "Well, that's not fair. I mean, don't put all the blame on us. It takes two to tangle. The wife has to do her part as well." And I agree with that in one sense. But then again, God has called men to be the initiators, the leaders, the ones who would step up to the plate. And I am convinced that if more men would love their wives as Christ loves the church, then more women would be happily submitting unto their husbands, unto the Lord, and our children would be raised in a godly, nurturing environment instead of a broken home. It's like a domino effect, guys, and it starts with you. Now, don't let that frighten you or scare you off. Take it as a challenge, as an opportunity where you can really make a difference. You want your marriage to be strong? Then love your wife as Christ loves the church. You want your children to grow up walking with God? Then love your wife as Christ loves the church. You want your church to be a powerful witness in our community? Then love your wife as Christ loves the church. You want to help see our country encounter or experience a spiritual awakening, then love your wife as Christ loves the church. You might say, well, Greg, don't you think you're overstating this a bit? No, I don't. Because I think this is a bedrock principle, a foundational truth that we need to be engaging in as men. It's like a spark that can set a fire, and it starts with you to really love your wife as God commands you to. Let's read those words to us once again. Ephesians 5 verses 25 to 33. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So ought husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. We'll stop there. Now, what do we see about Christ's love in these verses? Number one, the love of Jesus Christ for his church was sacrificial. Again, the love of Jesus Christ for his church was sacrificial. He gave himself for us. Christ loved us enough in eternity past to leave heaven, come to earth, take on a human form, experience all the limitations of humanity, be rejected, be spit on, be tortured, and be crucified. In short, Jesus loved the church enough to die for her. And this is the same kind of love that a husband is to have toward his wife. You might say, well, I don't know that my wife really deserves that kind of love. Well, really, she does. But even that is not why you should extend it to her. You should do it because God has commanded you to. And you might say, well, she doesn't merit this kind of love. But did the church merit this love when Jesus extended it toward us? Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you this. Did you immediately respond to the nudging of the Holy Spirit on your heart when he first brought you to a sense of your need for Christ? Did you immediately believe the first time you heard the gospel message? Probably not. You probably put it off for weeks, months, years, some even decades. Well, did God give up on you? Did he write you off and say, well, forget about it then? No. He kept loving you. He kept calling you month after month, year after year. And one day you finally responded and here you are. Well, in the same way, that is how we husbands are to love our wives. You just keep loving them day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out, as Christ loves the church. You don't love her for what she is. You love her for what God has called you to be as a husband, one who would love sacrificially. A husband who loves his wife only for what she can give him loves as the world loves. Not as Christ loves, but the husband who loves his wife as Christ loves the church will give everything that he has for his wife, even his life if necessary. And if a loving husband is willing to sacrifice his life for his wife, he's certainly willing to make lesser sacrifices for her. That means that he puts his own likes, desires, and preferences and welfare aside, and he will do what it takes to please her and meet her needs. He will die to self in order to love his wife. Now this flies in the face of the macho man stereotype, doesn't it? The guy who snaps his fingers and expects his wife to come and wait on him hand and foot. This is a different model of masculinity that is given to us in the Bible. And this takes a real man to sacrifice, to lay his life down, and to love his wife in such a manner. Let me ask you guys, when is the last time any of you, and I include myself, made a sacrifice for our wives? Well, we would change our plans for what we had to do just so we could spend more time with her. I mean, obviously, the interests of women and men are quite different in most cases. You know, I look at the things my wife likes to watch on television, and it's just We're polar opposites. You know, I'm like I watch four programs at once. And the commercial is the cue to go to the next program. I'll do anything I can to get away from commercials. My wife, she'll sit down and watch a cooking show from beginning to end. Greg, she'll say, come up and watch the cooking show with me. You know, I don't want to watch the cooking show. But, you know, I'll do it. I'll sit up there and watch it. And I like the results of the cooking shows, of course, when she makes me up some wonderful gourmet feast, as she does. But watching these guys or girls show how you prepare the meal and how you cut the food, I don't, you know, it doesn't interest me. But that's something I'll do just to be with her. You know, when we go out to a restaurant, I'll say, well, where do you want to go? Well, let's go someplace that has nice soup and a salad. Oh, just... I mean, to me, salad is like practice. It's like, okay, the jaw's working, let's have food now. Or soup, I mean, it's worthless soup. I mean, I like it okay as a warm-up course. Yeah, good. Now what? But to make a meal out of soup, but you know, you make sacrifices for your spouse because you want to do what she wants to do. And I'll eat the soup and then sneak a burger in, I don't know, somewhere. And then now my wife's latest passion is she likes to ride bikes. I mean, bicycles, not beach cruisers. I'm talking hardcore road bikes. I'm talking 45 miles in one ride or longer. And so she's been trying to get me into it, and I borrowed a bike the other day, and they even had those shoes that clip in, you know. That's kind of scary, because if you fall, you're history. You got to get unclipped, you know, and I almost fell a couple times, but so I'm out there riding with my bike, and we're out in the sunshine. Isn't this wonderful? The birds in the sky. Don't you love it? And they said, well, I love it, but I like my other bike with the big engine in it. The Harley. That's the one I like. And she goes, no, this is better than the Harley. No, it isn't. No. Because I still get to look at the birds and everything, but, you know, I just... When you're on a Harley, you see a hill. Fine, good, let's go. You're on a road bike, it's like, oh no. But I rode 25 miles, okay, so I just want to thank you very much. I'm trying, I shouldn't admit this, but I even wore those kind of weird little pants, those guys. They have extra padding in them. And when you wear them, it feels like someone, like you forgot to change your diapers, what it feels like. I was hoping no one would see me in those, but I'm trying. Now, if you want to be a hardcore bike rider, you know what these guys do, don't you? They shave their legs. It's true. Never. But, you know, you want to be with your wife and say, oh, whatever, you know, let's just do that. I want to be with you. You set your desires aside, and it's a, you know, a compromise situation. You work out. And she makes sacrifices for you. You make sacrifices for her. You spend time together. It's serving, putting the needs of your mate above your own. Think of that time when Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room. They were actually debating as to who would be greatest in his kingdom when he established it. So Jesus thought that he would give them an object lesson. He took off his outer garment. He got down on his hands and knees, and he began to wash their feet. And then he said, a new commandment I give to you now, that you should love one another as I have loved you. And how had he loved them? By doing something very tangible. What was that? He washed their feet. And what is the significance of Jesus washing their feet? What is the meaning? It's pretty simple. Brace yourself. Their feet were dirty. So he washed them. But it also was taking upon himself a servant-like attitude. And he was saying, look, this is what love is all about. Not just doing what it feels, but doing what is needed. And I ask you right now, husbands, what does your wife need right now? What are her problems that she's facing? The struggles she's encountering? The dreams that she has? How well do you even know your wife? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, speaking of your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The word that is used here is dwell with your wife. That doesn't mean just live with your spouse. But it is a phrase that means be aligned to your wife. You as a husband need to know the strengths and weaknesses and hopes and aspirations and fears of your wife. This comes back to what we learned earlier about God's original design for man and woman coming together, leaving and cleaving. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave into his wife, and they shall become one flesh. First you leave all other relationships. You enter into a new relationship with your spouse, and then you cleave, which means to be joined together. From the Greek, it could be translated to be adhering to one another, sticking one to another. But there's nothing passive about the act of cleaving. It's holding on to something. Therefore, I must periodically take stock of my own life and ask myself, is there any relationship or pursuit I'm currently involved in that could potentially put distance between me and my mate? Think about some of the things that you're doing with your time and say, is this going to bring my wife and I closer together, or is this going to drive us apart? Is this going to build our relationship up or tear it down? Maybe it's a friendship with someone else. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a sport. Whatever it is, ask yourself that question. Is this helping us to leave and cleave? Are we in or out of God's order? And then he says that you need to give honor to your wife. Your wife needs to hear from you guys that you appreciate what she does. You know, when she makes you a beautiful meal, belching is not the only way to show that you liked it. No, it means good, digest, you know. No, you need to say, that was a great meal. Say it in front of the kids, too. Thanks so much. Tell your wife she's beautiful. Tell her you like the dress she's wearing. Tell her things about her that you like. I know you think these things, but a lot of times we don't communicate them. Give honor unto your wife. As it says of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, her children calls her blessed and her husband praises her. Can I just share one very important principle? Never tear your spouse down in public. If you have something critical to say to your spouse, and you will inevitably when you've been married for a while, they'll do something that you didn't like. Wait till you get home and talk to them in the privacy of a room. Don't do it in front of the kids. Don't fight in front of the kids. Don't fight in front of other people. You ever been with a couple that starts doing that? You're out to dinner and they start arguing right in front of you, going at each other. You don't know what to do. It's so rude. Or tearing down your spouse in front of them. My husband, he's such an idiot. Did I tell you what he did? He's such a fool. My wife, she's so dumb. The other day, you know, don't do that. That's bone of your bones and flesh of your flesh. You should build her up. You should speak well of her, compliment her in the presence of others. Never tear her down. If you have something critical to say to her or you to him, do it later. But build them up. This is what we need. And this is so important, because if we fail to do this, husbands, look at that verse says, you need to do this lest your prayers be hindered. Did you know that? If your house is out of order, if you are not dwelling with your wife, being aligned to your wife and honoring her, the scripture says your prayers will be hindered. So if your family is out of order, if it's not where God wants it to be, if you specifically are not being the husband that God has called you to be, it can hinder your prayer life. This is the same principle that Jesus shares with us in the Sermon on the Mount. When he says, if you come before the Lord with a prayer and you realize that you have aught against your brother or he against you, go to that person and seek to make peace. Seek to reconcile with that individual. In the same way, let's say that you and your wife have had a fight and you left mad and you're angry. This can hinder your prayer life. You need to be aligned to them according to wisdom. You need to resolve your conflicts. You need to have peace with that person and let not the sun go down on your wrath. Principle number two, the love husbands are to have toward their wives is to be a purifying love. Look at verse 26. Down to verse 28. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So ought husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. That means, guys, that your wife's spiritual life, and I might add your children as well, should be your number one priority. Men, listen. God is going to hold you accountable one day for how good of a spiritual leader you were. For your children. For your wives. If you really responded to His call upon your life. And I believe that most men really do care for their families. And I think most husbands would take a bullet for their wife if it came down to that. If they were down to their last meal, they would give it to their wife and their kids over themselves. They would do that, there's no question. But I have to tell you something, guys. There is a spiritual attack against your family right now. There's an adversary who wants to destroy your wife. An adversary known as the devil that wants to destroy your children. And while most of us would rise to the challenge to defend our family physically, many of us are doing nothing when they're being attacked spiritually. We're not being vigilant. We're not alert. We're kicking back. And in so many Christian homes that I've seen, the men at best are passive spiritually and at worst are actually a spiritual detriment to their wife and children. I say at best passively. I mean, they go along with the program. The wife says, honey, let's go to church. Oh, okay. You know, can we skip it this week? No, honey, we need to be in church. The kids need to be in Sunday school. Oh, all right, okay, okay. You know, you're passive. You're like, all right, if we have to. You should be leading, guys. You should be the one. Come on, let's go. We need to have prayer together. Let's pray. Let's get in the Word, you guys. Come on, let's go to church. You need to be leading the way. Are you doing that right now? Are you the spiritual leader of your home? You need to be. Because this is what God is calling you to do. Did you know that 80% of all books sold in the family are purchased by women? Now, why do you think that is?
Well, because we men intuitively know these things, that's why. Why do we need to read a book? We know it already.
Sure we do. We should be out there buying those books. We should be out there studying the Scripture. We should be asking ourselves the question, are we being the leader spiritually that the Lord has called us to be? We are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. You might say, well, Greg, come on now. You're laying so much on us. The wife, she has a responsibility too. I'll grant that. It's clear she does. But as I said in the beginning, it's like a domino effect. If we would do our part, I think the results that could come would be dramatic, startling. I would even say in a relatively short period of time in your family, if you would begin to be a real spiritual leader, it could so impact them you wouldn't believe the difference. God will give you the strength to do what He's called you to do. And that's why it's only appropriate that we come now to the communion table and focus a little bit more on what Jesus did for us in going to the cross and setting that example for us to follow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word to us today. And I pray for every husband listening to this message that You will help us to love our wives as You love the church. Not with just some warm, fuzzy, fluctuating emotion that we refer to as love, but with real agape love. The sacrificial love that acts. The love that is willing to lay itself down. Lord, help us to love our wives that way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg Laurie's presentation titled, Loving as Christ Loves the Church. This is just one of many study messages and other resources available through Harvest Ministries. For information on these spiritual growth tools, write us at A New Beginning, Box 4424, Riverside, California, 92514, or phone 1-800-821-3300. You can find out more about Greg Laurie's ministry by visiting the Harvest Crusade.